Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, do your dumb sound effect. All right, there it is.
I got to start with the rooster.
Wake up, Hollywood.
We barely made it to the show.
Wait, then why would the rooster correlate with us?
Because we want to start strong. Like, you know what? That's our signia. That's the symbol of we're here.
Yeah, we almost didn't make the show.
We almost missed waking up, Hollywood.
For all three of you guys out there listening.
That's not true.
It's not true.
We're over 10,000 now.
There's numbers to back it up.
Yes, we have numbers. No more... Eddie just being a downer. No.
Eddie will always be a downer. Eddie will always be a downer.
How was your week?
Whatever.
Well, how was your drive? Let's talk about that for a second.
My drive?
Yeah. The drive was gnarly. The drive is gnarly for me. You were okay with traffic?
Yeah, but no, it was shitty.
Dude, it was worse Quanga. Man, the 101 is like, that is a real just like gamble.
Well, they want to close the Barm exit. Universal City does, I guess, with the whole Harry Potter thing opening up next year. They want to try to direct traffic in a different way.
Oh, that's going to be
awful.
That's going to be bad news.
When they opened up the Harry Potter attraction at Universal Studios in Orlando, it was a four-hour wait.
What?
It was a four-mile car line to get into the park.
That was so less dramatic.
Still, that's about 4 hours you'd wait. If it was four
really?
Miles long...
4 miles?
That was there. Imagine what that's going to be like here when they open up Harry Potter. Because there's nothing in Orlando. But, I mean, it's just swampland.
Well, there's Disney World.
Well, yeah, but it's all set up for amusement parks. Here, it's right in the middle of a city. It's going
to
suck.
You know what? Traffic's just getting gnarlier and gnarlier. We have to figure out ways to maybe swing from tree to tree to get here.
We got
to
somehow thin the herd.
Are you just talking about killing people?
No. No. Why'd you take it there?
Jeez.
Yes, I am.
You do that. Seriously.
We're doing a new format here in Wake Up Hollywood. It's a conspiracy theory.
I mean, I knew you were a downer, but seriously, that's some serious
Illuminati type stuff. New World Order.
So did you watch the football games?
I did.
Are you happy with the Super Bowl?
No.
Well, tell me why.
To win.
You wanted the Packers to win?
Yeah.
It was a
close
game.
Not a big fan of Seahawks.
Dude, but it's incredible that like the Patriots are in it again.
No, but they're good.
They're good. But it's like you always think that, you know, like Tom Brady is just going to choke, but he just always is.
No, he's solid. He's
so
good.
Consistent. It's ridiculous. Yeah. This is his sixth Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah, six Super Bowls.
That's more than the Redskins. Sorry to rub.
Redskins
salt
have been
in
five.
Wound. So, what did you do the rest of the week?
I haven't done anything.
You didn't do anything, dude?
No. My life
nothing.
I haven't done anything.
Boring.
What'd you do? You played in Irvine, I saw?
I played shows, actually, all weekend. I played in Irvine. I played in Orange County in Fashion Island. And you know what? It was good because I hadn't played guitar because I've been still moving and stuff. And I hadn't played since the 28th of December. And, man, it was weird. The first set, it's like it goes, man. It's like stand-up, dude. You know, it's like if you take enough time off, you start seeing that your timing's not as solid.
Do your hands cramp?
It's nothing like that, but it just feels a little. For the first set, it was like, ooh, things aren't as smooth. It doesn't feel like.
So you didn't pick up a guitar for like 3 weeks?
Dude, I couldn't, man. I wanted to.
Just sitting there at night, just didn't pick up a guitar?
Dude, no way. Dude, are you kidding me? I was moving boxes and unpacking stuff, and I'm still not done. It's just a lot of stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, every weekend is pretty much get the house ready, get things moving, painting stuff, like organizing stuff, and it's still not there, but close.
That's good stuff.
Soon,
super exciting stuff we're talking about. Traffic and moving.
People are like, dude, these guys are
Let's talk about rides to the airport. Let's talk about rides to the airport. How fun that is.
What about gas prices? You must be happy
about gas prices. State of the Union.
Dude, don't you think our theme music right before our theme music sounds like something from
our pre-theme music?
Yeah, our pre-theme music. Pre-theme.
Sounds like what?
Sounds like a news show, doesn't it?
What, this? Wait.
Oh, that's...
That?
No, the other one. Play the other one. Yeah, that one.
This one?
like on Weekend Update with
that one.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Worldwide leader in
it's
news.
Like, it's like whoever did the music was like, you know what? These guys are going to be the best newscasters ever on radio. And we're so anticlimactic. It's terrible.
It really was.
Yeah. So are you doing any shows? Any comedic stand-up performances?
No.
You're like, no, life is slow.
I'm not doing anything.
Come on. It's the new year. New beginnings. It's a good idea to get
it's
out
It's not
the
year anymore. It's like 20 days ago.
No, it's the new year till the end of the
over.
January.
It's over. It's back to being a shitty year. I can't wait for next year. That's where it's at right now. Can't wait for next year.
You're optimistic about 2016, but not 2015. You're like, I got to wait a whole year.
That's when it's going to turn, 2016.
Why is that? What's going to happen?
I'm just bullshitting right now.
Oh, you're just killing time?
I'm just killing time.
You're
for the doorbell to ring.
Well, maybe I'm not going to ring the doorbell. What do you think of that?
God damn it! That's what I think of that.
So how's Colton with the kindergarten thing?
He's good. He's loving kindergarten.
So he's not kissing girls.
They have a
anymore.
They have a lice problem going around the school.
Oh,
lice.
That's gnarly. You don't want to get any of that.
No.
Have you ever had lice?
No.
Me neither. Me neither. And
you seem like someone who would have lice.
No, I promise. I've never had lice.
I don't know. You seem like
someone.
But
I'll tell you, I went to Supercuts when I was a kid, and I'll never forget this. And like somebody that was cutting a girl's hair across from me, they were like, oh my God, she has lice. And I was like,
that means you have lice.
No. I don't have lice.
They went everywhere.
Lice. But, dude, I didn't know what it was, and then I, like, looked it up, and it is
It's pretty gross.
How do you even get that? They just jump from head to head?
It's next to impossible to get rid of.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do to get
rid of it? You have to, like, clean everything. They actually have companies you can hire and bring in that come into your house to clean everything and get rid of it.
That sounds
I don't know. What is that?
Gross. Guy throwing up.
Oh, my God. That's fucking terrible.
I'm here all night, folks. I'm here
for the gangbang.
Wait. So how do you get it?
I don't know.
Do you have to rub heads with somebody?
Have to rub heads.
No, I'm serious.
No, I think so. I think you have
or is it like a proximity thing? Like if you just
I think you have to come in contact, like physical contact, like hair, if like their hair brushed against your hair or something like that. You put on someone's hat.
Dude, I heard somebody had measles and went to Disneyland. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, there's a big measles outbreak in Disneyland.
Dude, what is it, like 1918? This is
no,
ridiculous.
It's because there's idiots out there that listen to Jenny McCarthy and don't get their kids immunized. It's stupid.
Well, what
That's
do you
why.
Mean? Wait, hold on, back up. What are you talking about, Jenny McCarthy?
She had one of the whole spiel like a couple years ago about how it causes autism and all that stuff, and you know. People stop
really?
Getting immunizations for their kids. So diseases that were pretty much eradicated, like polio and measles and the mumps,
are back
because people don't get their kids immunized.
Honestly, that is
it's
below
stupid.
Average.
It's moronic.
So, like, what is a cure for measles?
I don't know.
And who goes to Disneyland when they have measles?
But they don't know they have it.
How do you not know you have measles? It's all over yourself.
I'm sure it's probably went like before it broke out into a full.
But
measles.
I heard that it has to break out to spread. Or is that not true?
I have no idea. I've never had measles because I got immunized.
Yeah, I got immunized.
Because my parents were responsible.
So Colton will never get measles.
No, he's immunized.
Yeah.
No autism.
Right.
Shocking.
Right. That's good. You're batting a thousand.
People are stupid.
But he loves to kiss girls in kindergarten.
Mm. Well, yeah.
The side effect.
He's a horn dog.
Wait, so he's like keeping it under wraps now? He's good?
No complaints.
No complaints.
He's keeping the pervy stuff to himself.
He's a one man show. One man show.
Yeah. Wait till you're sophomore and then let it hang out.
You're terrible. That's just nuts.
Man.
So is he getting homework yet? No.
Yeah, he gets homework.
So like, what's his homework? ABCs?
They write. They draw. Tell stories.
Do you have to help with the homework?
Yeah.
Well,
so he's five.
Well, I mean, is that Tracy's job or is that your job?
No, I like doing it.
I like
being involved in my child's life.
Yeah, until it gets to algebra, then you're going to be like,
I can't help.
Carry over the six. Tracy, why don't you take this?
Tracy won't help either.
then he's going to think
unless you teach algebra, you really can't help anyone with algebra.
Dude, and you know what? I've never used algebra ever in my life.
And no one ever will unless you become an algebra teacher.
I got to tell you, honestly, like I was thinking about this week. I think it's ridiculous that the arts are being taken out of schools. But things like, dude, I've never used ridiculous geometry, you know, what do you call the math problems in geometry. They're called... I can't even remember what they're called, but I've never used any of that stuff. What? I haven't used the quadratic formula. I've never used that. Never used it once.
Because you're a musician. You shouldn't be using
it. Well, I'm good with numbers, though, but I don't think I've ever used any math other than multiplication, addition, division.
Long division.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, have you used anything?
No, I'm a comedian. I don't need numbers.
And like even so, like history, I think it's good to know. There's some science classes I think it's good to know.
You should have basic fundamental things,
but
and then
to not give kids like the fun stuff that they could actually be good at. I mean, yeah. it's kind of a crime. I think it's kind of bullshit because I haven't.
There's a lot of bullshit in this country.
True. But I mean, I haven't. It's just weird that I haven't used any of those significant, you know, subject classes for anything in life except for basic stuff that I learned by.
Except if I can give you a heart attack about trying to graduate from high school.
Wait till the high school homework comes, Eddie. That will be the gnarly shit. Anyways, I think our special guest is here. Let's say hello to Masumi. How are you? How are you? You good?
Mm-hmm.
You look very nice. Your band is ready. Why don't you introduce your band for us real quick?
So I have a very international band with me.
All right.
Me and myself, I'm from Tokyo, Japan. And on drums, I have Diego de Baracaba from Brazil. Not Brazil. Mexico?
You don't even know. He's like, dude, I told her. You saw the face. He's like, good deal. Tell her every
time. We get out of here. Well, that's harsh. It's a harsh way to go. The gunshot. Two of them.
Yeah, one in the leg, one in the arm. Just kidding, Diego. And we have a third guy.
Mm-hmm. On guitar from Brazil, I have Bruno Giusti.
Okay.
It's a United Nations band.
So now I understand why you messed up Brazil and Mexico, because mm-hmm. one's from Brazil, one's mm-hmm. from Mexico.
Yes.
But Bruno probably is like... She always messes up on him. The drummer, Diego, he always gets Brazil, but it's okay. She gets it right by the time she
How'd you guys all meet? How'd you guys come together?
We actually all met in school.
In school?
Was that how it was? I met Bruno at school, for sure.
There's so much partying you guys couldn't remember. So much drinking.
Too many drugs. Way too many drugs.
And then I graduated school, and then that's when I met Diego, because Bruno introduced me to my drummer, Diego, now.
Well, let's jump right into it. I'm assuming you're
one of my...
You guys
have a lot of shit in here.
Hey, interrupted me.
There's so many drums and guitars.
Yeah, but you know what? That's fun. It's fun. This is our first band of the new year. Get excited.
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried if there's a fire, I'm not going to get through the door. That's what I'm concerned about. There's a lot of shit in this room right now.
Don't step on the clown horn.
Yeah.
Do not.
I'm going to George Costanza everybody if there's a fire. I'm just pushing everyone out of the
way.
You
know what? Actually, Eddie, you are barricaded pretty much.
I'm in the corner. I'm dead.
I think you're the first to
go. I'm in the death spot of this room.
I saw you look for a getaway. You're like, I don't care about the questions right now.
I would have to try to take your body and throw it through the window, and then I could get out of here.
Well, I love having bands on the show, because usually we have songwriters, and it's so awesome and refreshing when you have a band just like set up with the drums.
Yeah, we haven't had this many pieces
since our first show.
Yeah, I think since the first show.
The last band that we had here. Yeah, Velvet Tea Party.
Yay.
Yeah, another llama band. Yeah. He goes like, yes. Oh. Viva la Brazil. Just kidding.
He's going to fucking stab you with his drumsticks.
I know. He's like, seriously, I've got weapons.
He's like, you want to see how far these go?
So, Masumi, you're one of my favorite new artists. You really are. And I want you to tell us a story about how you got into music. She's like, what? I got to tell a story. How did you get into music? How did you get the bug? How did you just want to do this for a livelihood?
So I always wanted to do music, but I never thought doing music was possible because my parents made it very clear that I had to go to university and get a regular job and stuff like that. So I went to a regular university in Tokyo, and I was studying anthropology as my major. For 2 years until...
Anthropology.
Uh-huh. I know, I wasn't really interested in other stuff.
How do you get a real job in anthropology? Your parents said, no, you have to be an anthropologist. I'm like, what?
Like, seriously, you're just like, you must have been, like, really hating anthropology classes. I would be walking to class going, no, don't let me, I can't do it.
Did you get to pick anthropology, or was that sort of like, no, you're... That is the longest sound effect ever.
Hey, it's some scary shit.
No, it's not.
All right, answer the question.
And second question of that.
Wait, second part.
There's a part B of this question. What is anthropology?
Anthropology is. Now, that's a difficult question to answer, really.
Because you slept through all the classes because you hated it?
No, but because, sociology kind of focuses on people. Anthropology...
Right.
focuses on a person. That's pretty much You know, it's like more of a smaller focus than sociology, but it's kind of like sociology. But then I only took it for 2 years, so what do I know, really?
More than me, because I didn't even know what it was.
So now your school,
you're so you just study one person. It's sort of like the science of stalking, isn't it? It's just sort of like
it's the study of man.
Just pick
it's
one just person,
like a study and of life,
study them.
Yeah. Either way, it's...
Well, I'm glad you got out of anthropology.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you hear her saying. You're going to be like, what were you doing studying anthropology? So you were taking anthropology classes, mm-hmm. and then what was the awakening moment? You're like, I can't do this anymore.
It's when the tsunami hit Japan, and that was a big disaster that hit Japan, and also the power plant broke, the whole, you know, depressing stuff, and...
When was that, 2011?
2011.
Yes. Good, Eddie. Nice. You should be on Jeopardy.
I'm aware.
Yeah, and when the tsunami hit, we got a huge earthquake. And, I mean, I've been through a lot of earthquakes in Japan because we get a lot of small ones. But that was the first time I've ever gotten a huge earthquake like that. And I was also underground.
Ooh,
wow.
I was at an underground coffee shop. So
how close were you to the tsunami?
I was pretty far from... The tsunami happened in the suburbs, and I was in the Tokyo, like, part of the city. So I was pretty far from that, but, like,
did it pretty much rock the entire Japan? Like, everything?
Everyone felt
it. Wow.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Scary. At the time, because I never felt something so...
It was an 8.3 or something like that? What was the...
It wasn't 8.3. I think it was close to... 7, maybe 6, and it depends on where you were. But
that's crazy.
So I pretty much felt like, you know, I felt like, you know, today might be the last day of my life kind of
thing.
That's
insane.
And then I thought,
you're like, I don't want to die an anthropologist.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, well.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
And I just wanted to do something that I really wanted to do before that happened again.
Well, that's great. You you pulled something positive out of that horrible.
Wait, this is going to happen again.
Horrible thing.
Let's get back.
Well, the earthquakes they happen from time to time.
No, that's so. That was the awakening moment. You're like, you know what? Why am I wasting my time?
Right.
It's like you put things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell us how you came to Los Angeles and got into music and wanted to study it and all that.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't really tell my parents when I auditioned for school because I didn't think I would get through anyways, and plus I didn't really have the courage to tell them, but I auditioned, I made the video, and, you know, sang for this audition, whatever, and then I auditioned for the school in L.A., and I got in, which was very unexpected, and then...
God damn it! do the schools, like, what school did you go to?
In Tokyo? Or
no, the school here, the L.A.?
L.A. Music Academy, L.A. College of Music. Yeah.
Do they look for more international students to bring in as opposed... Like, do more international students... You have a better chance of getting in internationally than you do if you are in the United States?
I think they do a lot of...
Do they sort of look for that?
They tour a lot of countries, don't they?
There's a lot of international students.
Diego's nodding. He's yawning and nodding.
Okay.
It's like he's like, I got a point, but I'll tell you later.
Yeah, so that might be true.
No, I was just curious, like, because I think we've had other people on who've gotten, they've been international students that have come
on. But even when I was at USC, I don't think there are a lot of huge music schools in the international, realm.
Well, I can see
the same way that it is here, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I can see a music school wanting to bring in different people from different nationalities, just different cultures of music coming together would be interesting.
Yeah, USC, imagine. we had Japanese students, Brazilian students, I mean... I think it's great, actually, because it exposes, you know, our culture to them and vice versa.
Yeah.
So I think it just makes it a rich
environment. Curious.
But I think whoever co-founded the school was Japanese, so I think that's why there was a lot of Japanese students going to that school.
So you're like, hook it up.
You're like, my people, my peeps, hook it up, my peeps. And so what made you want to write songs? Like, you got in as a singer, I assume, right? Mm-hmm. So what made you want to pick up a guitar and write songs?
Mm-hmm. Well, I picked up my guitar when I was in junior high, so maybe I was like 14, and I always liked to write my own stuff. I had like a stack of poems that I started writing when I was in fourth grade.
Oh, I thought you said porn.
That's what I did too.
No.
I was like, what?
I had a stack
That's
of porn.
That's not that kind of show, Masumi.
It totally inspired me to write music about porn.
No.
Sorry. Apologize. I can't stay focused.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. All right, she said forms.
No. Poems.
Poems.
She had a stack of forms. All these forms have inspired me. I gotta fill out all these forms.
Well, you just dragged me with the porns. I'm like, what? I don't know.
Well, porn's funny. Forms.
That just sounds like a lot of work.
It just sounds like work, not fun for anybody.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, so poems. I just liked writing in general. And so I came to school, and then I realized that I wasn't much of a singer, but I liked...
That's not true, first of all.
I liked writing more than just singing, you know, people's songs and stuff.
Well, there's something magical about writing songs.
Asshole.
No, there is, though. That's actually one of the reasons that I wanted to do the same thing. Because it's like, I loved to sing, but there's something different when you write songs. It's like your own story.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So let's get actually into one of the songs you're going to play. What are you going to play us first?
I'm going to play, we're going to play Eyes of an Enemy.
All right.
Trying everything just to get back on my feet. Daddy's been crazy, and my mama's been crying next to me. Brother's busy fooling girls, and the world's been confusing me. They don't understand. I am in what I need. Oh Lord, I've been trying everything just to get back. To be tripping over my own two feet. I gotta get rolling before this ends in defeat. Well, there's no place to hide, no, when you're 6 feet deep. They don't understand. I am in what I need. Oh Lord, I've been trying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. Good stuff.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Dude, I couldn't stop.
It's breathing. Nice with the full band thing in here going on.
It's the shit.
The drums and all that shit.
Yeah, I know. It just makes you want to rock.
Feels good.
Makes you want to get on your Harley and just see the world.
Yeah, yeah, you ruined it.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome. I mean, man, it's crazy when she's like, yeah, I wasn't much of a singer. And then you hear that voice, and you're like, oh, my God, what are you talking
stop
about?
Stop being modest.
You're crazy. Aww, you're crazy. You. No, it was beautiful. And I love that song. Great arrangement. Dude, you guys sound great. You guys should be a band.
So, were you guys gigging live anywhere? Were you guys?
We actually just came back from, we toured in Japan in November. And for a month we did that. And then we came back. And
did your parents go to a show?
To my show?
Yeah.
In Tokyo?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
They're yeah. like, we want you to go back to anthropology.
They brought all the anthropologists to the show.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, it was actually one of the first time I played for my dad and my brother. So it was really nice to, you know, show them what I've been working on. And now I feel like I have a full support. So
that's awesome.
That's the best.
That's so important, too.
Well deserved, too. I mean, how could you not support that? I support it. You all listening should support it too, right, Eddie?
You should be very supportive.
That's right.
Of everything.
It's a very supportive moment. I like
it. It's a little overly supportive right now.
So, real quick, so you got this band together. Mm-hmm. Now, when you guys are putting a song together like that, like how are you thinking about the arrangement? Are you kind of collaborating with ideas, mm-hmm. or do you have the vision of what you want in the song?
I think they definitely helped me out with it. I mean, I've been a singer-songwriter just with my acoustic for so long, I can't really hear different instruments and stuff like that. So sometimes I really don't like my song because I think it's boring, and I bring it to them, and they really add colors to it and make it much more colorful.
Isn't that the best feeling? Mm-hmm. I think that's, as a songwriter, when you bring it to a band and then you hear it just like realized even in that moment, I don't think anybody understands how magical, like really, like no bullshit, no sound effects. It's a magical moment.
Can I do
like,
one there? Can I do a bad sound effect?
Yeah,
the
do
wrong
it.
Time?
Try it.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
No, but it's a beautiful thing when you can bring a song that you're like, you know, I kind of believe in this, and then you hear what they put on, mm-hmm. and it's just like, whoa, mm-hmm. I am all about this song now.
Definitely.
It brings new life to it, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because you've lived with it for so long, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you bring it to them, they're like, they have this fresh perspective on mm-hmm. it, you know? That's mm-hmm. awesome. Well, you guys sound seasoned, man. Thank you. Tell us about this Japan tour. I know you opened for Nathan East, is that right?
No, we didn't open for him, actually.
You're completely wrong. Completely uninformed.
No, that would be so great if we were able to do that.
Well, let's just lie. Let's just pretend.
But he was just one of our guests for my EP release party.
That's amazing.
It was great. He came by to support and show some love and...
Dude, that's incredible. Nathan East is one of the most, like, ridiculous bass players ever on the planet. He played with Eric Clapton for years. Mm-hmm. I think he still does every now and then. He's played with Jeff Coffin from the Dave Matthews Band and the Motet and some other crazy bands. He's just a badass musician.
Cool.
That's amazing. You're like, hey, Nathan, come to my gig.
Just come to my party.
Yeah, I'll be in Japan. When you're ready to come out, just come out and say hello.
He was actually having his solo tour in Japan at the same time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I got
That's
lucky.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so how many dates did you do in Japan?
We did 3.5 weeks, right, y'all? Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What cities did you hit?
We actually just remained in Tokyo.
Wow.
And then hit up as much as venues we could in Tokyo.
That's amazing.
But we would love to go back and hit up a different major city.
And where are you playing in Los Angeles?
Right now, I think we're doing Hollywood stuff.
NAMM.
Oh, yeah. Where are you playing at NAMM?
We're playing on the 22nd. We're opening up for Moby.
That's amazing. Movie. What stage?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Like, what's NAMM?
So NAMM is the National Association of Music Merchants. It's where a lot of
like
music companies... It's totally different. It's actually like... You know, it's like a convention where like Fender, Gibson, all the big music companies display their newest gear and all the people that they endorse.
Oh.
They come and play, and then new acts and new bands get endorsements from it because...
Are you playing NAMM?
I played it many years, but this year I'm not. It was just too hectic to do with moving and Sundance next week.
So you've been doing Sundance a lot, though,
I've been doing Sundance. I've done NAMM, I think, 5 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
And I used to play 3 shows every year, and I was just like, that's a little too much.
For NAMM?
Yeah. Oh. I used to do 3 shows every year at NAMM, and then now And then I started, I brought it down to like one, and then the last year and this year, I was just like, you know what, I'm okay, because it was lining up with Sundance, and we would fly back from Sundance and do NAMM, and it was just like, it was too much.
Wow.
So now I actually go to NAMM for one day, enjoy it, see the stuff, and then, you know, it's also about the new artists. You gotta like let new artists have those opportunities, because... You know, you guys need endorsements too, right? That's what it's about. Bruno's like, yes, I need my Godin endorsements.
Why do you sound like a drug dealer?
I don't know, because I'm a suit working for Godin.
Okay.
I'm okay. Just kidding. So you're playing at NAMM. Do you know what time you're playing?
We're playing at 9:10.
Dude, that's amazing. And you get to see Moby, too.
Really,
I've seen
really
him spin. He's pretty awesome. He's fun. That's incredible. Well, let's play something from your record. Where did you record this record? Is this the one you did in Japan?
Which song are you playing?
It's either You're Lying or Water to My Body.
Okay. I'm going to play...
Tick Tock.
You're Lying.
You're Lying?
I'm going to play... Yes. I actually recorded this... a year ago, you remember when I recorded this, right?
I
recorded this in Japan, and I didn't really have the courage to put it out there, but I finally decided to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. She deserves a fan base. All right, let's hear it.
All right, here we go. You're Lying.
Your bright brown eyes come tell me you love me. Your dark tan skin's gonna hold me and caress me. But you're lying, yeah, you're lying. When everything, anything you got, baby, everything or anything you got is making me want to fall back to you. But I know you, I know you're lying if you're leaving me again. Your dripping tears gonna tell me you're sorry, and you won't let me go till you fool me I'm the only one. Oh, but you're lying, yeah, you're lying again. When everything, anything you got, baby, everything or anything you got is making me want to fall back to you. But I know you're lying if you're leaving me again. How many times will I relive these lies? And all I'm left to say is baby, oh baby, goodbye. Oh, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, bye-bye, bye-bye. Oh, your sweet life.
Stuff.
That's good.
Hot stuff. It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's soul. Right there.
Soulful.
Soulful. It is. So tell us about your writing process. What do you write about? How do you write?
With a pen?
She's
a pencil? Typewriter?
She's asking some personal questions.
I want to know, actually, how do you write?
I feel like, when I was born in L.A., and I went back to Japan and America all my life, and I think the whole moving thing was very stressful for me because I was never able to really stay and, you know, make friends and hang out with them, make memories. I always had to move around. And we moved around a lot. Like, I went to Texas, I went to New York, Washington, in Japan. So I feel like I have a lot of stories that I want to tell that I felt personally. And
that's awesome. And a lot of people can relate to that. Because a lot of people are like Rolling Stones sometimes and moving from place to place, so they can probably relate to those. And maybe they can't write those stories themselves. So it's awesome.
So, yeah, I read a lot about that. I feel like I am Japanese, but I'm very Americanized, and I've seen America when I was very young. So I see how, like, a lot of the kids in Japan or people in Japan could be, or kind of trapped in a sense with their, you know, with their
creativity.
Yeah, creativity and free of expression and stuff like that. And one day I would like to be like one of those people that can influence those kids so they could look differently about the world. And
I think you're already doing it.
Is that still very common in Japan? Like it's very I don't know how to word it. Like very structured or very
Yeah, very much so.
And it's that much different from America. Like
Oh yeah, very different. Yeah, I think I'm very blessed that I was able to come here, especially because I have the citizenship and I have the support. But a lot of the kids there are kind of stuck, and they feel very stuck. And
is there any sort of like subculture there that has like sort of blossomed artistically with like like a counterculture type of movement? That
like the anime stuff?
I don't know, whatever. Because I mean, usually when you try to suppress something, it usually bubbles up somewhere. So I was just wondering, somewhere in the culture,
like how are people creative? Are
like
there,
how
where is creativity in Japan?
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to come out somehow.
Right. I mean, you've seen some like crazy fashion. Right, like. I mean, yeah, but then again, like those people have to be so extreme because they can't be accepted.
Right.
So they're kind of an outcast too. I mean, that's fashion is crazy in Japan, and some people, you know, dress really crazy, but then that's one outcast of a group. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Art is like, you know, looked like frowned upon. You know, when it's such a great thing. And that's a culture that I think would need it more than anything if they're suppressed to express.
Well, there's so much art in the history of Japan. Like, historically, it's such an artful place. It just seems that now it's so frowned upon. It's just very strange.
Well, maybe it's just because it's become such a technological, like, hub, you know what I mean, for the advancement of that. So it's like their structure and job security, and it's like everything's about the economy or what, you know, you're pulling in. So it's like when you take on an artistic endeavor, it's like, oh, why are you doing that? It's like status. Or is that the reason, or is it just
I feel like
the society in general?
Well, Japanese people like to value unity and harmony, and so in order to value unity and harmony, people can't be doing their own thing and expressing their own stuff all the time. We need to work together. In order to work together, we have to be kind of doing the same thing, working together to create a bigger thing.
Wow. So that's interesting.
That is interesting. That's kind of fascinating, actually. And you're like the black sheep. You're like, I'm a renegade.
You're like, screw this.
But you know what? I come from the Indian culture, and it's very much the same way. It's, the only difference is, like, people are like, you need to be a doctor or an engineer, and that's it. And then, you know, like, anything else is like, ooh, really? But you know what? As you succeed, you're going to start seeing your whole culture, you know, like want to follow you. And that's a really exciting thing.
Hopefully,
you know what
I mean?
Not hopefully. It's going to happen. I mean, you can't. We had a guest a couple weeks ago, David Ryan Harris, and he said the coolest thing. He was like, you know, it's like, I know the universe gave me a gift, and I always worry about where the gift's going to take me, but the universe is always like, I'm never just going to give you a gift and not lead you somewhere. You know what I mean? So it's like, clearly, you are like a pivotal person, I think, in your culture to have this gift and to be a voice for our whole culture, which is pretty awesome. You know what I mean? I love that. Of course. Of course. So what are your Twitter handles, your websites, all your social media? Tell us all that stuff. Where can people find you?
Okay. So my Facebook is facebook.com/masumi.official. That's my Facebook.
All right. Spell it out.
Masumi. Oh, yeah. My name, Masumi, is spelled M-A-S-U-M-I. And then I have an Instagram account, which is masumi.c.
C like the letter, or C
the
like
C
the ocean?
C like the letter.
Okay. All right.
Because my middle name is Cherry, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
You have a webpage?
Yes. And my webpage is Musumi/music.com.
Mm-hmm. We should take notes on this.
Well, can you get to all your other stuff from your webpage?
Yes.
So just go to your webpage, and that will lead you everywhere else.
Right. But so. I actually recommend people to just look me up on Facebook because that's where I update my stuff.
Okay. So Facebook.
Ah. Yeah. So, you know, I've always wanted to ask you this. You know, I've seen you grow as an artist. But who are some of your biggest influences as far as songwriting or your musical scope that's shaped you, you know?
Well, growing up, I used to listen to a lot of American music in Japan. So just pop music in general, I was fascinated with it. I think that's why my music is more towards American than Japanese. But if I were to think about artists, I think about KT Tunstall.
I hear a lot of her in your writing. It's awesome. She's great.
But then I love Ray Charles and Nina Simone and stuff like that. I'm not necessarily that bluesy, but I think I really like the soul of it, the feeling that they give.
It hits you here. It hits you right here.
And, yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, let's play something else from your record. What's the name of this other song?
Water to My Body.
Wait, we're going to do a live performance.
We have all this crap in here. We might as well use it.
What am I thinking? Shoot.
Do a live one.
Yeah, what are we playing live next?
This is called Sinking Boat.
All right.
That's enough, you don't have to keep on talking. Everything you say is making my heart heavy. So hush, would you love? I know I've got to get going. Just trying to feel that last air of love. Now what? Life.
Yeah, that was slamming. Woo! Man. How did you feel? Eddie, you're still, like, taking it in.
Very relaxed.
Yeah.
It's very relaxing.
When you hear good music, it's so soothing, man.
Thank you so much.
There's a great quote. It's like, music washes away the dust of everyday life. It's like, man, it does. And to do this show at night and hear live music like that, it's like, fuck yeah. You guys sound killer. Seriously.
Thank you so much.
You're playing NAMM. One more time. Where are you playing?
The stage, right?
Yeah. Oh, is that? Do you know this?
We're playing on a stage.
You're playing on a stage at NAMM Thursday morning,
Thursday
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Convention Center.
Yeah, I think it's at Hilton Convention Center.
Uh-huh. You're playing at the Hilton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, I know where you're playing. You're playing just outside of the Convention Center. Mm-hmm. It's on Convention Center Way. And it's right across the street from the Marriott. The Hilton and the Marriott are right across the street from each other.
It's where all the panels happen, you know, with the guests.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You're going to love that stage. I played that stage. It's pretty badass.
Mm,
9 a.m. Thursday, mm-hmm. January 22nd. Yes, mm-hmm. Awesome.
Thank you.
That's a huge deal. I mean, Eddie, you don't know this, but playing NAMM is a huge deal for musicians because you hear about it like, oh my God, NAMM, so many crazy. The last time I played that stage, Stevie Wonder walked by right by afterwards. And before we played, Victor Wooten came up to us and was like, hey, what time you guys hit? And I'm like, I froze. Victor Wooten's like one of my favorite musicians, mm-hmm. same with Stevie Wonder, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you'll see people like just walking about. You know, you're opening for Moby. That's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you'll see the greatest, like, new products and music. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So congratulations.
Thank
That's
you so much.
Well-deserved. And we hope to see more and more of you, of course, in the future. Where are you going to be playing after NAMM? Do you know? Do you have any dates? it's like, ooh. Mm. Well.
We stumped them.
We're going to just peak with NAMM, and that's it.
We're out with NAMM. We're going to drop the spike, the mic, and walk away.
As of now, after NAMM, we're actually going to focus on recording a couple of tracks, some songs in Japanese, because last time I went back to Japan, I felt like it'll be a good thing for me to record some Japanese tunes, because I don't have one, and I am Japanese. So
like, this has got to happen. That's pretty cool. Uh-huh, do you think it changes your writing when you write in Japanese versus English?
It's definitely more difficult. English is a very expressive language, I feel like. Japanese doesn't really show a lot of emotions. So to show emotion becomes very difficult for me. Hmm. And because I've been speaking so much English now that, you know, Japanese is kind of rusty. So I think that too makes it a little difficult. But I'm going to try.
That's awesome. And you know what? There's not many bands that start out and they're like, we're going to do a Japanese tour. That's pretty amazing.
Just tour Japan.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like, you know, so many bands want to play outside of, like, it's one thing to play outside of LA. It's one thing to play outside of the country. And, mm-hmm. you know, you tour Japan, you had Nathan East come to your gig, and now you're playing NAMM opening for Moby. I mean, that's, you know what? That's just a precedent of what's to come. That's the cool thing. It's like, we're catching you guys now when you guys are just, your star is rising.
Aww.
See that? Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason why we did this show, Eddie. We're having a moment, you and me. Look, I can see it on your face.
Yeah.
So one more time with all your websites. Tell us where everybody can find you.
Okay. So please find me at www.facebook.com/masumi.official. You can find me there on Facebook. And if not, on Instagram, if you all use Instagram, please find me at masumi.c, as in cherry c. And my name is spelled M-A-S-U-M-I.
Masumi. Mm-hmm. Masumi. Just awesome. What does your name mean? I've never asked you that.
Oh, you know, I know, well, Ma means truth and Mi is beauty. So it's some true beauty, but then something in between the Su, I don't really
Just stick
remember.
With true beauty.
Yeah. Yeah. True beauty is pretty awesome.
That's pretty solid right there. You don't need anything else.
Yeah, just say true beauty. That's awesome. And you know what? That makes total sense. Bruno, Diego, Masumi, it was such a pleasure having
Thanks
you guys
so
on.
Much
Thank you guys for coming.
Us.
Now get all of this shit out of here.
We plan on having you back. Keep us posted on your wonderful rising careers. And yeah, thank you for being on Wake Up Hollywood. Wake Up Hollywood, we'll see you next week. I will be at Sundance, but Eddie and...
You should call in from Sundance.
I'm going to. I'm planning on it.
We'll see if I answer. Good night, everybody.
Good night.